everybody. This is John Forrester with Out of Character, and as promised, you are going to be getting two podcasts this week, because last week's podcast didn't happen because stuff went on. Don't worry about it, but two podcasts. Today, I thought we would do a round of GM tips, and I wanted to talk about something that may or may not come up in your game, and we'll get to why in a minute. If you saw any of the recent Hobbit movies, in this particular one, I'm talking about An Unexpected Journey, the first one. I always liked the Hobbit book by J.R.R. Tolkien. It was, I think that's my favorite thing he wrote, and I really enjoyed that particular movie. And Hobbits were just fun in those books because, they're little diminutive people who, they enjoy the comforts of home. They like having good food and good drink and a nice warm place to sleep and, soft bed and all that good stuff. How that relates to what I'm talking about is this. Fast forward or rewind, depending on how you want to do this, and go to the first Lord of the Rings movie, the Fellowship of the Ring, where you have the hobbits who are, they're on the road to Rivendell with a ranger, and he's, trying to make good time, and, it's like a father taking their children on a road trip. He doesn't want to stop to go to the bathroom. He doesn't want to stop to feed them. We're going to keep making good time. Now, they are being pursued by murderous ring wraiths at this point, which I don't think most of us have that problem. It's usually just, you want to get wherever you're going. And that guys are just like that. And I'm kind of like that, too. I get on the road and I want to make good time wherever I'm going. And, if I'm in the car by myself, when I went to Gen Con, Jade was with me, so we stopped a couple of times to eat and use the bathroom. I probably would have stopped, once. Because I don't want to stop till I get there. Because I want to stay on the road and keep going and going and going until I get where I'm trying to get to. Getting off the road's a waste of time. But anyway, you have they're often a hilly area, and they're jokingly they're eating breakfast, and he's like, well, what about breakfast? And Aragorn says, you've just had it. He's like, well, yes, I've had first breakfast. What about second breakfast? And he just kind of gives him this look. And they start, packing stuff up, and he's going through all these other meals that what about lunch, supper, elevensies, tea time, dessert, they're just like, we're on the road, dude, this is an adventure. There's no elevensies on an adventure. They throws, a couple of apples to him as, there's your food, shut up. So what this all ties into, what I'm pointing towards here, is scarcity of food and drink in a role-playing game adventure. How to use it, when to use it, and why to use it. This is one of those things that, as a GM, you can either completely ignore and never have it come up, and that's fine. Used sparingly, just like some of the other GM tips I've done, employing weather and things like that, it can actually make your adventures more exciting and kind of enhance things and not force the party to take a direction, but maybe steer them towards an idea that you have. There's a few ways to do it. So basically, pretty much every game, players are going to be starting with some standard gear. In almost every D&D game, they're going to start with, some amount of food, a canteen, some water, food and drink and things like that are not hard to come by. Almost every standard adventurer, here's your, adventurer kit. It's got some trail rations and some beef jerky and, a canteen. If you're playing a dwarf, then you probably bought some, almost every player... There's always the one person who's going to buy a canteen of liquor and spend, a third of their money on either probably the cheapest liquor they can get because they want a big canteen full of it. So they're usually going to start off with some amount of food. It's not like you start in the wilderness with no food whatsoever and you're starving and you have to, spend the first session hunting down food. That's the horrible and boring, and you don't want to do that. There are certain scenarios where it can be interesting, though. In the Lost City campaign that we are currently playing on the podcast, the module that I'm using constantly tells you, keep on them about the food, keep on them about they're starving, there's no resources, and just, it's really, I chose not to do that because I wanted to focus on other things. Their resources are limited, but I didn't want to, have them feel like just constantly be harping on no food, no drink, no food, no drink. But that's one of those things, there's certain environments where food and water and things like that are scarce. You're in a desert. You're in a tundra, you're in a deep dungeon that has been, there's nothing been living down here for centuries. There's no, bakeries, and there's no good, clean, fresh water. You go in the Underdark, you're going to have to learn how to scrounge for food. Dark Sun is a really good setting for that, from Dungeons and Dragons, because Dark Sun is this world that's basically one expansive desert. People are harsh. These races have devolved culturally into a very savage handful of cities that are struggling to survive. And when you have that, people are going to be more warlike. There's going to be less propensity for wanting to be, you know, a party of good adventurers wandering the world looking for good deeds. And you're more likely to be a group of mercenaries who are securing a water source. But yeah, so just, you know, like, think about the environment that your campaign is going to be taking place in. If it's a desert, if it's someplace like, if it's a forest, well, then you, 9 times out of 10, a forest isn't going to be a problem to find food. You know, either you'll have someone who can hunt, or they brought some food with them, or forests tend to be near settlements because there's a lot of trade. People, you know, or you have hunters who are going in to hunt down animals. You have trappers, you have lumberyard, you know, woodcutters. There's a lot of resources in there that people are going to be using. Or there could be thieves that are going to try to rob the party. Whereas a desert, there's still value, there's still things in the desert that people might want to go out and collect, but it's less likely that you're going to find someone just wandering through the desert on a pleasure trip. So setting is important for that. Just think that through as you're going through a game. Also, you can employ it in an unusual way if you just have something happen. Like, the game Dungeon World and, Monster Hunter and, or Monster of the Week and all those that have that very pendulum motion that we were talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Dungeon World employs a great mechanic where nothing ever just fails in Dungeon World. Bad things happen, you know, but nothing ever just fails. Like, you don't just say, like, okay, I try to pick the lock. Okay, you fail to pick the lock. Well, that doesn't advance the story. That's boring. It doesn't really do anything. Okay, I try to pick the lock, and your lock pick breaks in the door. Okay, well, now you have to try something different. Or I try to pick the lock, and I pick the lock, the door opens, and a vase that had been placed, you know, next to the door gets knocked over and shatters very loudly, and I can hear, like, people moving towards me. Employing that, you could have something happen. You know, you're fleeing from a sinking ship, and your character is like, okay, I want to grab my weapon, and it's like, okay, you get your weapon, but you left your pack with all your supplies, so you're now in a rowboat in the middle of the ocean with no fresh water and no food. You know, that's a prime example of, okay, what do we do? Well, you need fresh water and food. You have a time limit. You'll be dead in 3 days. Realistically, probably even sooner than that if you're sitting in the middle of a rowboat in the middle of an ocean with, you know, no compass and no idea of where to go. That's one of those situations you can put players in that are like, okay, what are our resources? What do we have to pool? They're not really working against some grand scheme of the universe. They are just trying to survive, and that's one of those things that can be interesting to do with your players, because some players are going to have more difficulty with something that they can't just kill. A dragon can be fought. Starvation, you can't punch it out and make it go away. You have to, you know, find some food. Your characters who are stuck in this rowboat eventually make their way to a previously undiscovered island. And now they have to go search for food. It's like, okay, well, you find trees, but the fruit is poisonous, and the water is salt water, and you have to go further and further inland, and there's a lot of stuff you could do with that. That's kind of a fun idea, but that's just one example of something that you could use. Maybe you want to go something that's not so... Maybe you want to have an economy that's based around it. Like, if you go to, like, the new Star Wars movies, if you go to a planet like Jakku, their entire economy is based on food. I mean, the entire culture there is basically a group of scavengers who go out into the desert, collect parts from old ruined starships, and trade it for food. That's kind of awesome in a way. I mean, that's horrible because, you know, they're all held hostage, but it's interesting at the same time to just have this idea of a whole culture that's, you know, kind of built around, if you're playing like a Star Wars game and you want to mess around with that idea of, you know, desert planets or planets like Tals that, you know, the planets like Hoth and places like that where The climate is very, very, very harsh, and just surviving is difficult. The environment is important when it comes to the whole, like, food thing, and, like, dungeons are always interesting for that, too, because, you know, you have these characters going down into dungeons and crypts and stuff like that. If you wanted to, and this could be fun, have the sneaky little goblins or trolls or whatever it is that's down in your crypt. Instead of just sneaking up and attacking the party while they're asleep, your party wakes up and all their stuff's been stolen. They have no supplies, they have no weapons, they have no equipment. So all the climbing gear they had, all their torches and rope, all that stuff's just gone. Good luck getting through the dungeon now. Do they turn back and try to make, you know, that's another thing that you can mess around with. Now they have, like, okay, you've been in, you're down in the mines of Moria, and you have no food, and you've been wandering for a week. You have no idea how much further it is to get through this place, and you may not have enough food to make it out and to a settlement unless you turn around right now. It's the point of no return thing. Again, interesting idea, you know, to put characters in that situation and see how they're going to react. Are they going to be like, no, we'll press forward? Or are they going to fall back? And that'd be less of an interesting choice, but also more interesting at the same time, just because you could have the players, you know, are they going to be like, these little dudes stole our stuff. We have to take revenge. This was an embarrassment, Don. This is a scar on our war record here, and we need to go back and prove that we have the stuff of heroes. But yeah, and that's the thing, like, when you're playing, you don't always have to go for, oh, my goblins are just going to try to kill you. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having goblins jump out and, you know, trying to smack somebody in the head with a rock while they're asleep. They're goblins, that's the kind of thing that they would do. But if the goblins see that, you know, these people clearly are not from around here, and they can just starve them to death, and then when they're too weak to fight, kill them, or, you know, loot their corpses, I think goblins would probably go for that option. Have a cleric, or have your characters who are, you know, they're guarding a desert caravan, the magic user doesn't bother with throwing fireballs at them, he just befouls their water with some spell that turns it all, like, into this noxious, horrible slime. Now you have a problem, because you have to figure out, you know, how are we gonna get fresh water? And, you know, yes, if you, nowadays, like, there's all these shows about, like, how to survive, that dude Bear, who, like, you know, he shows you, like, they drop him off in, like, some godforsaken place, and he figures out, you know, like, here's how you build a shelter, here's how you get food, here's how you, you know, so, you know, yes, if you're one of those survivalist characters, then you're gonna be fine. That's when you want a ranger, or a druid, or a cleric, who can just be like, food. And that's what makes it hard to do, depending on the system, as far as the scarcity of food. There's so many spells and classes and abilities that are just like, well, I'll just make food, or I'll just find it. Then you have the situation of, like, okay, you're on Jakku, you're playing Rey and Finn, and you're in the middle of the desert, or no, you're playing Rey and Finn, and you're, like, there's no food, and you say, like, okay, well, I want to look for food. As a GM, I'm never in favor of just saying no. You should always try to work with players and run with their ideas as much as possible. Having said that, if you tell me that you want to scrounge for food on Jakku, I'm going to say that it's going to be nearly impossible. In my head, you're going to have to, the difficulty class to do something like that, the chance of success is very, very small. Just because it's a desert planet to begin with, it's been picked clean by scavengers for many, many years. Any food, it's like, I'm thinking, like, where would there be food? You know, there's animals, there's wildlife, but most of it's been, you know, domesticated and is used by scroungers. Anything that they can utilize in any way, shape, or form, they're already doing. And, like, well, you have these big ships crashing, surely there's some food there. It's like, yeah, but the food's, like, 30 years old. However, it's also got, like, military rations, so I would think they'd have some of those, like, military food packs that are, like, you know, sealed and dried and everything. But I gotta think that stuff's been taken too, because their whole economy is based around trading machinery for food. So I'm sure that the first thing that anybody who was, you know, that low on the totem pole was to take the food, and then it's like, well, I don't have to work today because I got some food already. But yeah, just think about, like, the scarcity of food and water is, one of the first games I ever played in, we made it to a settlement, and one of the big driving elements was there was no fresh water. And people were slowly freaking out because there's no water for this entire new settlement on an isolated coast far from home, and we can't go back. we ended up having, you know, going off to investigate how to get fresh water, and it led to a few mistakes were made. But we did get fresh water. It's a cool, clear thing. Like, okay, there's no fresh food. Everyone's dying of hunger. There's enough food to sustain this village for 2 days. We need someone to go and get us some food in one way or another, to find a sustainable food source. You know, is there, you know, farmland? Is there, you know, well, that's not going to help us because we can't grow anything in 2 days. So we need a food source now. That's a clear problem that, you know, maybe your party can go up and solve, or, you know, we're going to die if we don't have any food. Again, it's not something that you want to constantly do. It's a lot of times just plain gets ignored. It's like, you know, you're in a dungeon and people will be like, oh, I eat some of my trail rations, or I give some of my rations to the villager. You know, keep in mind your supplies. They're there. Just be like, when you're running through things and you're like, you guys were on the trail, like hard pressed running for, you know, a week to track this party down, or, you know, you're on your ship and you've had like 3 months worth of consumables and you haven't bought anything in this entire game. You need to put into a spaceport and get some food, or you're out of stuff. That's it. Again, all just little things that you can be like, okay, they put into a spaceport to get some supplies. And this planet has a, you know, it's got a food shortage, so it's hideously expensive to buy food here. Do they just leave? Do they try and make a deal? Do they try to steal stuff? Again, jumping off points can lead to interesting little things you didn't foresee in your game, and it's just kind of a fun idea. So, that's just what I thought I would share with you guys for this week. We will have some actual play stuff for you next week. We'll be getting away from the GM tips for a while and back to just actual play podcast for a bit, so hopefully you'll all enjoy that. Until next time, we are out of character, and I hope you guys enjoyed. Bye!